Yeah, I'm sure you've heard the story of the man who goes to the bank and he sees two machines, and on one machine there's a whole line of women, on the other machine there's a whole line of men. And this is in Yerushalayim. So first thought that comes to his head is segregation. Women one machine, men one machine. So he goes to the bank manager. He says, "What's going on over here? What? Even in the bank, the women have to be standing separate line, men on separate line. What's going on over here?" So the bank manager says, "Come with me. See, looks written on top of the machines. On one machine it said deposits. On one machine it says withdrawals." So the men were all on the line of deposits and the women were on the line of withdrawals. Okay, it's a joke. Okay, it's a joke.
No, it's not.
Not a joke. Okay. So, wine. On Pesach we know there's 4 cups of wine. So why do we have 4 cups of wine? So the obvious reason is because, and that's what the Gemara says, it's based on the 4 languages of
redemption.
Torah says, "Vehotzeti," I took them out, I took you out. "Vehitzalti," I saved you. "Vegaalti," and I redeemed you. "Velakachti," and I took you as my people. So "Vehotzeti" literally means take out. Hashem took us out of Eretz Mitzrayim, which is unheard of in those days. Why was it unheard of? Why is it unheard of? Because not a single slave ever escaped from Egypt. They were known that their frontiers were watertight. Not a single person could escape from Egypt. Their border controls were tougher than the American ones. Not like here. You can just run across the border. Over there, border controls. Not a single slave ever escaped. So Hashem says, "Well, Tzeti, I took you out of Egypt." Well, can you imagine what a big thing it is? That's something we remember every single day. Yitziat Mitzrayim is the 3rd paragraph of the Shema. And it's also mentioned out Tefillah. Baruch Atah Hashem Gaal Israel. Hashem saved us. Hashem redeemed us. Hashem took us out of Egypt. So what is Egypt? We have to understand the word Egypt. Mitzrayim stands for the word Metzarim. What are Metzarim?
Narrows.
Very good. Glad you came today. What do we say, Tehillim? David HaMelech says, "Min ha-metzar karatiya." I called out to you from the boundaries, from the narrows, from my troubles. So metzar is when a person feels constricted and restricted. Sometimes in life we feel very constricted. We feel like we're bound. We feel like we're chained. Especially a person who's sick and they're in bed. They feel like they're prisoners. And we say every morning, we say, "Baruch Atah Hashem Matir Asurim." He releases the bound. When a person is sleeping, they're like they're tied up, can't move. So we pray to God from the Metzarim. Hashem releases us from our boundaries, from our prison. And that happens every single day. We have to realize that. Hashem is Matir Asurim. Hashem releases the bound. So that's Hotzeti. Hotzeti is Hashem took us out of Egypt. That's a physical release from Egypt. "Paid salty," and I saved you. Now, saving is a much higher level than, you know, it's enough to take a person out of Egypt. Now you've got to save them. What do you mean, save them? Because Paro is running after them. Hashem said, "I don't only take you out of Egypt, but I also saved you." And that's the 7th day of Pesach. What happened the 7th day?
Kriyat Yam
Suf. Across the sea. Paro's right there. Can you imagine what an amazing miracle? It's one of the, you've got to see the movie. It's really amazing. Just to see something visually, to see the sea split. It's amazing. It's a miracle. How can the sea split? Just we say in the Tehillim, it says on the Hallel, "Hayam ra'ah ve'anos." The sea saw and ran away. What did it see? You got to pardon the puns over here. The sea saw and the sea sees. And what does the sea see? What did it see that it ran away? So the Midrash says it saw the bones of Yosef. It saw the Aaron of Yosef and it ran away. So the commentary says, what's going on with you? I think Rav Chaim Shmulevich asked this question. What does the sea got to do with Yosef? And the answer is, we find the Torah says, "Vayanos Yosef Achutza." Yosef ran away from Potiphar's wife. He left his clothes in her hands and his desire was just overwhelming. He had to run away to get away from her. So he ran away. It says, when a person runs away from an Avera, from a sin, the sea is witness of that. And the sea took a note and said, if Yosef can run away from sin, I have to split the sea for him. The sea, but the Bizchut Yosef, the sea split. It's an amazing idea. So that's Ve'itzalti. Hashem saved us. Ve'ga'alti. And Hashem redeemed us. So what's the difference now? What's the difference between saving and redemption? So Ge'ula is a tremendous redemption, which we are still waiting for. We're waiting for the Ge'ula Shlema. So Ge'ula is a more general term. It includes every facet of redemption. So Ve'itzalti is just the physical coming out. Ve'itzalti, I saved you from a particular case. Ge'ula is a general. Ge'ula is redemption in the total sense. It's a totality. All your facets of life. Ge'ula is in all the facets of life. Ve'lakachti li'le'am. And I took you as my nation. What does that mean? I took you? It became a personal relationship. Hashem now has a relationship with us. At Har Sinai. Hashem took us as his nation, as his people. On Har Sinai, we're called the chosen nation. We are Am Segula. Ve'item li mamlechet kohanim ve'goy kadosh. Hashem says, you'll be to me mamlechet kohanim. A kingdom of priests. And a holy nation. Which is amazing. A kingdom of priests and a holy nation. So that's lakachti. So there's four different terms used for this saving from Egypt, which we're celebrating. And the truth is that there's four different kinds of slavery. There's the physical slavery, which we all think about, the physical slavery. But physical slavery by itself is very easy to fix. You just take the slave out. But you know what? Look at the American Africans. African Americans. Right? They claim that they're still, the slavery so had an impact on them, it's very hard for them to survive, for them to really feel free. So the answer is there's mental slavery as well. There's physical slavery, and there's mental slavery. And mental slavery is much harder. For example, an abusive relationship. If there's an abusive relationship, a woman, it's very hard to get out. Right? It's mental slavery. If she feels like a slave. And feeling like a slave is very hard to get rid of it. And we talked about yesterday, we said how the Hashem had to show them their master's dead at the sea. The master had to be shown that they have no power over them to release them from this mental slavery. And then there's emotional slavery. If a person feels emotionally attached, it's very hard to leave Egypt. It's going to be very hard to leave America. Why? Because emotionally attached. See, the Jews after the Holocaust, they're still emotionally attached. They came from Germany. Probably hate Germany. They're still emotionally attached. They have the language and the culture and the history. And it's still part of them. So the emotional attachment is very hard. So we need freedom from emotional attachment. So you have the physical, we have the mental, we have the emotional, and we also have the spiritual attachment. That's slavery of spirituality, which is idolatry. The Jews, when they came out of Egypt, were idolaters. We have to realize that. And it took them 40 years to be free. And even then, they didn't survive. Why? It says those 40 years, the men had to die. All the men died over those 40 years, except for the Levites and the Caleb and Yehoshua. Two people survived.
Who is Yeshua?
Yeshua was Joshua. The book of Joshua. You know Joshua?
Joshua,
not Yehoshua. May God save us.
Actually, they're referring to someone else.
No, please don't. Please don't give up. No. Yehoshua is the Joshua who was the student of Moses. 3,300 years ago. 3,300 years ago, student of Moses, Joshua. So Joshua and Caleb, two greats who survived. It really was a tragedy. These people could not change their mindset, could not change their spiritual mindset and believe in God. Hashem says the whole generation has to be wiped out. They didn't want to go into Israel. They wanted to stay in the desert or go back to Egypt. Imagine. They came out of Egypt and they want to go back to Egypt. Why do they want to go back to Egypt? Because they're emotionally attached to Egypt. It's so hard to leave a country and then make a new move. Because the person is so emotionally attached. I'm sure there are people who live, Jews around the world, who lived in a country for 50 years, 60 years, 100 years, 200 years, 300 years. And they put down roots and they say, this is my country. I'm attached to it.
But they were slaves, though.
It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter if you're slaves. You're still attached to the culture. People get attached to the culture. They're being brainwashed with the culture. This is the only culture I know. It's very hard to change. It's what you know. So those are the four different kinds of freedom which we toast out with the cups. Hashem gave us these four kinds of freedom. Emotional freedom. He gave us mental freedom. He gave us physical freedom. And he gave us spiritual freedom as well. Those are the four kinds of freedoms that Hashem gave us. So that's what the four cups symbolizes as a pshat. Plus there were four evil decrees. Paro decreed on us. Number one was slavery. Number two, all the males to be killed by the midwives. Who are the midwives? Shifra and Pua. Who are they? Miriam and Yocheved. Shifra and Pua. And then he said to drown all the baby boys in the Nile. And then he made a decree for the Jews how to collect their own straw to make the bricks. So these are the four things we toast. Hashem saved us from these four decrees. You had a question?
Oh, I was just thinking that like 80% of the Yidden didn't come out of Egypt because of like that emotional
yes.
attachment.
Yes, it says 1/5 came out. 20% came out. 80% did not come out. So the emotional attachment, assimilation basically. How many Jews will come out of America?
So like
think
that,
about it now.
Doesn't that say a lot for our ancestors?
Yes, our ancestors were the ones who came out. In fact, the fact that we're here today is because our ancestors kept their Judaism. All our ancestors, all the generations are behind us. We have to realize we're not just we're the tip of the iceberg. The iceberg you can't see. The iceberg are all the previous generations. And they're the ones who kept us going till today. And that's why it's so sad when the next generation doesn't keep it up. Hundreds of generations kept their Judaism and then the next one breaks it. So that whole big chain, which is so strong, one weak link, and the chain breaks. It's tragic. See all these weak links in the chain. So four cups. So we said number one is Hashem saved us from four types of slavery. Number two is Hashem saved us from four decrees. Number three is, the rabbis say, is these four exiles. There are four exiles in Jewish history. The four main exiles, the Egyptian exile, the Babylonian exile, the Greek exile, and the Roman exile, which we're in now. And that's we're toasting Hashem to save us from these four exiles.
A question about Hashem saving us from decrees. Because Shifra and Pua, they were the ones that stood up to Paro.
Yes.
It wasn't like Hashem saving us, it was
two women. Oh, was that education? It's their morality which came from Hashem.
Okay.
It's the morality which saved us. But I'm sure Paro could have hired new midwives. The fact is he didn't. Mm-hmm. So that's also, we have to realize that. Chasdei Hashem. A lot of things that happen today are Chasdei Hashem. We don't see it. We have to recognize the kindness that God does to us. There could be decrees from this source, and Hashem abolishes them.
Also, it wasn't like that decree was replaced by the decree of throwing all the boys into the Nile.
Right.
So it wasn't like the decree was... Like, the decree was kind of superseded.
It was superseded from a worse decree. And the Hashem saved us from that decree as well.
Okay.
Hashem saved us from all the four decrees. That's one explanation. Then we have the four exiles. The Egyptian exile, the Babylonian exile, the Greek exile, and our exile. So four cups of wine symbolizing the four exiles. The other explanation is interesting. The Gemara says that the word cup is used four times in the story of Joseph and the butler. I don't know, what's the connection between Joseph and the butler? The butler has a dream in jail. And Joseph explains the dream that the butler is now going to be freed. Right? He sees these three bunches of grapes, which he's squeezing into Pharaoh's cup. And the word cup is mentioned four times. And Joseph explains those three bunches are 3 days. In 3 days' time, Pharaoh is going to take him back into his service, and he's going to press grapes into Pharaoh's cup again. And he tells the butler, he says, when he saves you, remember me. And the butler forgot Yosef for 2 years. But eventually the salvation of Yosef came through the butler. So that is the hint, the rabbis say, to us, our salvation. Eventually the salvation will come, just like Yosef. In fact, that's all prehistory. Prehistory is the one that gives us our history. It says, Maaseh Avot Siman Lebanim. The Ramban on Chumash says, Maaseh Avot, whatever our forefathers did, happened to their children as well. Whatever events took place in our prehistory is a symbol of what's going to happen in our history. So whatever happened to Yosef, he's thrown in a pit. He's thrown into jail. That's what our history was. We're thrown into slavery. But just like the butler's going to redeem Yosef, so too these four cups in his dream are the ones which signifies redemption. So we have four cups today to signify redemption, based on that dream. What number was that? Who deceived?
Deceived us.
Who deceived?
The butler forgot Yosef.
He didn't deceive Yosef, he just forgot him. It's not deceit. He didn't go out of his way. Vishkachehu, it says. He forgot him. And it says Hashem punished Yosef. Because
right.
He put trust in the butler. He should put his trust in God. But anyway, but nevertheless, the butler was a mechanism for Yosef's salvation. And the cups were important. So the cups which are in the dream. So we celebrate the dream. Of the butler. Any dream which predicts redemption is a good dream. If you can have a dream that predicts redemption, that's a good dream. According to Kabbalah, there are four forces of impurity. What number is this? Five. Thank you. My best student. Yeah. Number five. There are four types of impurity. What's called shells, klipa. Kabbalah talks about the 44 kinds of shells. And on Pesach is our spiritual redemption for these four shells. Because in Egypt we were pulled down to the 49th level of defilement. In Mitzrayim we were in the 49th level of defilement. So we celebrate on Pesach removing these four shells, these husks from us. The Shla. Now we come to the Shla. He says, we read in the Haggadah about our forefathers. I never understood why there are three forefathers. I don't know. Just joking. Okay. There are three forefathers. And mentioned the Haggadah. Number one, it says, Abraham Avinu, Terach Avi Abraham. They worshipped idols. Right? So it starts, the Haggadah starts off with Avadim Hayinu. It starts off with bad. Machlok in the Gemara. Rabbi Shmuel, I think it was. The Gemara says, do you start off with the good things and end off with the bad things? Or you start off with the bad things and end off with the good things? And the answer is, we start off with the bad things and we end off with the good things. So what are we bad things? Two bad things. We were physically Avadim Hayinu, we were slaves. Mitchila of the Avodah Zarah you obtained. Our forefathers were worshippers as idols. Physical bad and spiritual bad. Double whammy. It's bad enough to be physically bad, but spiritually bad as well. Double whammy. So our forefathers were idol worshippers. Our forefathers were slaves. Double worship. Okay, so Avraham Avinu originally was a worshipper of idols. We have to remember, he was a Baal Teshuvah. The first Baal Teshuvah in history was Avraham Avinu. Actually, he wasn't, but let's say he was. It was probably Cain was a Baal Teshuvah. Adam HaRishon was a Baal Teshuvah. So Adam HaRishon did Teshuvah for 130 years. Hard to imagine. He lived for 930. So he did Teshuvah for 130 years of his life as doing Teshuvah. He did Teshuvah for 130 years. But Avraham Avinu was one of the big Baal Teshuvahs, which he did by himself. From his own volition. He found God from his own volition. But originally he was a worshipper of idols, a pagan. His son Yitzhak had two sons, Yaakov and Esav. And Yaakov ends up in Egypt, exile, with Yosef, his son. However, what about the matriarchs? What about the patriarchs? What about the matriarchs? So the Shla says the four cups symbolize the matriarchs. That's where this is the... The four cups of wine in the Seder symbolize the matriarchs. How? That's the Shla. Shnei Luchot HaBrit. He wrote a book called the Shnei Luchot HaBrit. He became known as the acronym Shla. Shnei Luchot HaBrit. So he says, the first cup is Kiddush, to sanctify. That's Sarah Imenu, our mother Sarah. How does she sanctify? It says, Ved kol ha-nefesh asher asu becharan. Abraham and Sarah made souls in Haran. What souls they make? It says, Abraham Avinu converted the men to belief in monotheism. And she converted the women to belief in monotheism. So that's Kiddush. When you make someone believe in God, that's Kiddush. You sanctify them. So she was engaged in the act of Kiddush. And therefore Kiddush, the first cup of Kiddush, represents Sarah. Our mother, matriarch Sarah. And then, the second cup. We told the birth of the nation. Abraham worshipped idols. The nation grows. And eventually they find God. And that's Rivka's life. Rivka's life was, she was originally an idol worshipper, just like Abraham Avinu. And she was born into a family of idol worshippers, and eventually she grows into one of the matriarchs of the Jewish people. So her life symbolized by the Haggadah. We were originally slaves, and we were originally idol worshippers, and eventually become free people and worshipping God. And that's symbolized by this, by the second cup, which is this cup which represents Rivka. And then we conclude the grace after meals. Birkat HaMazon. We say Birkat HaMazon. We drink the third cup. What is Birkat HaMazon? Thanking God for sustenance. Who sustained the people of the world? Yosef. And whose mother was Yosef? Rachel. So Rachel symbolizes Birkat HaMazon. Rachel brought us the savior, the physical slavery of the world. She gave everyone food. We say Birkat HaMazon. We remember Rachel. Thank you, Rachel, for having a son called Yosef. Thank you, Rachel. The last cup, we drink after we finish the Hallel. Who was the first person to say Hallel? Leah. What does Leah says? Ata odel Hashem. Now I will thank you, Hashem. Why? She has a fourth son, Yehuda. And that's, we're called Yehudim, we're called Jews. Jews is from the word Yehuda. People don't know that. Judah, Jews. I prefer the Hebrew than the English. Judah. It's Yehuda, which has got Yudke Vavke in it. Yehuda is the only name with Yudke Vavke. It's amazing. Yudke Vav Dalet He. There's a Dalet in the Yudke Vavke, which is Yehuda. So she said, it's based on the word Ode, which is thank you. Mode Ani. She's the first one to say Mode Ani. Thank you, Hashem, for giving me this fourth son. Why? Because I know that there's going to be 12 tribes. And 12 divided by 4, Yaakov has 4 wives. Everyone should have 3. I have 4. I'm more than everyone else. Thank you. A special thank you to Hashem for giving me more than I deserve. Thank you, Hashem. So that's Hallel. The fourth cup symbolizes Leah. Okay, those are the 4 cups of wine. In his introduction to Pesach, the Rambam lists 8 mitzvot. There are 8 biblical mitzvot in relation to Pesach. The first mitzvah from the Torah is to eat matzah. It's not in alphabetic, it's not in order, any particular order. The first obligation is to eat matzah. And so 2 nights, the first 2 nights, at least the first night in Israel, is a mitzvah from the Torah to eat matzah. There's a mitzvah today, we do a mitzvah. So today there's a bracha. Asher k'nisham v'stav tzvanu al achilat matzah. We have to think we're doing a mitzvah from the Torah by eating matzah. The second mitzvah from the Torah is Ve'gadata Lebincha.
Did you say a mitzvah in Israel?
Yes.
Why?
Because in Israel, that's the main mitzvah. In Israel, it's the first night. Yes. Outside Israel, it's the first night is from the Torah, the second night is from the rabbis.
So why wouldn't the first mitzvah be for us too? Because we know that.
It is. It is a mitzvah also outside Israel. Outside Israel, but it's a mitzvah only the first night from the Torah. The second night is a mitzvah from the rabbis, the first night is from the Torah. Person thinks the second night is from the Torah, they're adding to the mitzvot. Not allowed to add to the mitzvot. Only the first night is a mitzvah from the Torah. The second night, the second day of Pesach is all the Drabanan. It's all Drabanan. Second day. The mitzvah of telling our children.
That's number
2. We've got to tell your children. Now the Rambam says, what happens if you have no children? So he says, you tell whoever's there. It doesn't only mean your children. It means spread the word. Spread the word on Pesach. There's a special mitzvah on Pesach to talk about the wonders and miracles of coming out of Egypt. So whoever's around you, to talk to them. If there's not around you, talk to yourself, he says. What does that mean? That means you have to actually say it aloud. You can't just think about coming out of Egypt. I'm here by myself. What a horrible thought to do Haggadah by oneself. It's horrible. Because you should have someone around. If you have children, grandchildren, whatever it is, if you have friends, just to be with someone, to converse about the Haggadah, it's very important. There's no one to converse with yourself, but you have to talk aloud. It's a mitzvah of speech. The mitzvah of remembering coming out of Egypt applies every single day. But that mitzvah is only in your head. But here, on Pesach, there's a special obligation to talk. You know, it's ironic. Jews love talking. I don't know if you know that. Jews love to talk. You know that? Okay. But when it comes to a mitzvah of talking, people are silent. There's a mitzvah to talk about the miracles and wonders. That's what we're doing now. We're talking about the wonders and miracles, and that's why it's good to take notes, because it's good. There's a mitzvah on you to talk. You have a mitzvah to talk about, not about the sports and the news and the garbage and the politics. It's a mitzvah to talk about Hashem. On this night, there is no mention of Moshe in the Haggadah. It's a name which is not mentioned in the Haggadah. Because Moses, our great leader, was not the hero of the peace. We don't want to toast Moshe. We are toasting God. This night we're toasting God. There's no mention of Moses in the Haggadah.
I thought it comes up once.
Yeah, it's hinted to.
Okay.
But it's not a focal point of the Haggadah. Okay, the third mitzvah is the mitzvah to destroy Hametz, which we all know about. And we start checking on the 14th of Nisan. And then we have the 5 prohibitions. So we have 3 positive commandments. 1 to eat matzah. 1 to read the Haggadah, to say the words. Third one is to get rid of the hametz. That's 3 positive commandments. Then we come to the negatives. The prohibition of eating hametz. Number 4. Number 5, the prohibition of eating a mixture of hametz. Number 6 is a prohibition of owning hametz. And seeing what you own, And the mitzvah number 7 is a mitzvah not to find hametz, but you own. Okay, so there's 5 different mitzvah. Yes? The mitzvah not eating mixtures of hametz. That means if there's hametz mixed into your food, does it look like hametz? It looks like something else. But it has hametz ingredients, not to eat it.
What's the difference
from not eating hametz? So there's a general rule, which is hametz is batel, right?
Okay.
But on Pesach, hametz is not batel. There's no bitul of hametz on Pesach. Hametz on Pesach and Mashu, even a little drop of hametz falls in. Normally we say 1 in 60. You say 1 in 60, you can't taste it. But over here it's very, very strict. Hametz is very strict, and even a mixture of hametz, it's not recognizable, in other words. Even though it's not recognizable, you don't really taste it. Chametz is chametz. Okay, now let's move on. There's a very important verse in the Haggadah.
You said there's 8 mitzvot. 8
mitzvot.
7.
No, I'll give you 8. I'll go through them again. 3 positives.
Yes.
Eat matzah.
Tell it to your children.
Tell it to your children.
And destroy.
And destroy chametz. 3 positives. Now we come to the negatives. Number 4. The prohibition of eating chametz. The prohibition of eating a mixture of chametz. The Gemara talks about a thing called a kutach ha-babli, kind of cottage cheese. But they put bread in the cottage cheese. So even though it looks like cheese and it tastes like cheese, still asur, a mixture of chametz. Or alcoholic beverages, beer. Beer doesn't look like chametz at all, but it has a mixture of licorice. Licorice, right? So there's a mixture of chametz, which are also prohibited from the Torah. That's number 5. Number 6, not to see chametz which you own. Bali ra'eh, don't see it. And number 7, bali matzeh, don't find chametz which you own. Which means, what it means is, don't own any chametz. Well, that's why you sell it to the non-Jew, which is
the
rabbi.
Haggadah, one of the
yeah, v'gadata lebincha. V'gadata means Haggadah.
Uh-oh.
What's Haggadah? Haggadah is to talk. People don't realize that. They call it Haggadah. What's Haggadah? The root of the word Haggadah is to talk. And everything is about order, seder. You know, it's amazing. We have so many things with the words sidur. Sidur is the order. Everything in life should follow an order. There's a beautiful Vilna Gaon. The Vilna Gaon says in the curses in the Torah, Parsha Bechukotai. Im Bechukotai Telechu. Ba'olech etchem komimiyut. He says the blessings start, the first part of the Parsha is blessings. Chukotai. Starts with an Aleph and ends with a Taf. Im Bechukotai is Aleph, and ends with Komemiyut. Olech etchem Komemiyut. I will go with you standing up. In fact, I became one of the Harachamans in the Birkat Hamazon. Harachaman hu yolechenu Komemiyut le'aretzeinu. We want to go standing up to our land. We don't want to go in a box. We want to, don't want to be shipped there by Elal. We want to be standing up. I want to walk in Israel. I want to walk to Israel. People don't realize that's a big bracha. To walk to Israel, to live in Israel, it's a big bracha. Olech etchem komimiyut, Hashem says, I will walk with you standing up. So the brachot start with an aleph, end with a taf. But the curses, chas v'shalom, in Parashat Bechukotai, start with a vav. Ve'im lo telech etibah, im telech etibah keri, if you walk with me with happenstance. And then it ends off with a hey. So he says, the Vilna Gaon says, the brachot are aleph to taf. They go in order. All the brachot, 22 letters of the alphabet, all blessings, 22 kinds of blessings. The curses are from Vav to He. Only 2 letters, Baruch Hashem, and they're going backwards. So he said, if life is in order, it's a bracha. If life is backwards, it's out of order, disorder. Disorder is a klala. The person knows that life starts, everything's in order, everything's going according to clockwork. It's one of the biggest blessings we have. We have to realize that. If your day is in order, last week, my car is driving down the parkway, and poof, I get a flat tire. Okay, nothing happened, Baruch Hashem. I'm here, Baruch Hashem. Nothing happens, so I go to the side and wait there for a tow truck. That's all, Baruch Hashem. Just, and you know, in America, everything's solvable with money. Thank God. Pay the money, and you got another tire, and you got a thing, and you're back on the road. But it's disorder. So it's a kapara, it's an atonement. Whatever, thank God. Thank God, it could be much worse. Thank God. Next time I buy a Japanese car, I'm just joking. but we don't have to appreciate how many times I drive and nothing happens. Baruch Hashem, so I've got to appreciate If your life is in order, the kids are doing well, you wake up in the morning and everything goes according to clockwork, thank God a million times, that's a blessing, that's a blessing. If things are not in order, Brahman now we get sick or this and that, and a person has to change their routine, that's not a good sign. But that's life, you know. But that's what the Torah is telling us. So that's why everything is said there. We want a structure in our lives. And there's a beautiful, I've said this many times, but it's worth writing it down. Rabbi Jacobowitz, Alav HaShalom, Big Tzaddik, Chief Rabbi of England, one time. We were very fortunate. It was the last time he ever spoke was in our shul. It's very, very unusual, very strange. Shalom Torah, they had a function in our shul. In those days, this was really the biggest social hall in town. Those days are gone, by the way. So Shalom Torah, Yossi Stern brought Rabbi Jacobowitz to talk for Shalom Torah in our shul. Baruch, we had him over here. I'll never forget the talk, because his talk was about cloning. The big thing of the medical ethics cloning. Cloning sheep and cloning people, whatever, make clones. Mm-hmm. So his topic was cloning. He was very, very, very tired. Rabbi Jacobowitz was exhausted. He's on a tour of America. He was old, elderly, had a heart condition. I don't know why. Miss Ken, I feel sorry for him. And so he was cloning, and he went on, and he was going off topic. He was talking about intermarriage and assimilation and Shabbat. And I'm looking at my friend who's a doctor, but he's off topic. And then he blew us all away. He said, Shabbat is very strange. Okay. All right. He's talking about Shabbat. What's good with cloning? We celebrate lack of creation. We should celebrate the Big Bang Sunday, like the Christians. We should celebrate the creation of man, like the Muslims, Friday. What are we celebrating? Shabbat. What's Shabbat?
Day of rest.
Day of rest. We're celebrating God's lack of creation. So this is a very big lesson for us. Because if we cannot stop, we are not the masters. We become the slaves. If you have a factory, and the factory, you can't stop the factory. You become a slave to the factory. If you have a store, and you can't close the store, you become the slave to the store. If you have science, and you can't stop the science, you become a slave to the science. That's where cloning came into Shabbat. Amazing. That was a flash of light. He really blew us all away, because he was going on and on, and we said, we gave up. We gave up on this class. This class is a disaster. We gave up, and boom, he's talking about Shabbat. Bah! We celebrate rest. Hashem said, Shin Dalad Yud. The name of God. Put on the mezuzah, right? What does it stand for? The Midrash says, Ze Shama Leolamo Dai. He told the world, stop. Die. Die, Dayenu. We're going to sing, right? When a person says, Die, Dayenu, we have to understand what it means. Die, Dayenu is very powerful. It's God's name. Shin Dalad Yud. Ze Shama Leolamo Dai. He told the world, he controls the world. He's in total control. And we appreciate the fact that God did not stop. That's what Dayan is all about. He could have stopped the miracles. No, he kept on. He gave us more miracles. He could have taken us out of Mitzrayim and not given us the Torah. He could have given us the money and not given us the Torah. But he didn't. He just kept on going. The miracles just kept on going. But when it comes to certain things, we have to stop. We have to learn how to control ourselves. We have to learn how to control our science. Don't overstep the boundaries. That's what Shabbat is telling us. Amazing.
Rabbi,
yes.
In music, part of the music is the rest. And the rest is part of the music, but you have to stop.
Yes. And let me give you another example. I was teaching a class last week about the Tameh Mikra. What are Tameh Mikra? The tunes in the Torah. And people don't know this. There are two kinds of tunes. The tunes that tell you to stop and rest. The tunes that tell you don't stop, so keep on going. Those are the basic. There's two basic kinds of tunes. So in the pasuk, you have to know how to break it up. The whole wisdom of learning how to read the Torah is when to stop. Amazing. So stops are more important than the starts. Because if you stop at the wrong place, you broke the sentence up. You made the wrong sentence. You have to go back and repeat it. It's amazing. If you stop the sentence in the wrong place, continue. If you don't stop in the right place, you just overrun. It's called overrun. You just join two sentences. You have to tell the Baal Korah to stop and repeat that sentence. Or just repeat till the point of the period. You have to put the period in. Sot pasuk. You have no one to stop. So that's very important in life. We have to teach our children. Number one, teach them how to stop. If you can't stop, they're not in control. That's where all the addictions come from. People can't stop. That's why Shabbat is so important. Anyway, how do I get onto that? I have no idea. Okay. But it says, the Pasuk says, V'ya're'u otan ha-mitzrim. V'ya'anunu. Remember that? V'ya're'u otan ha-mitzrim. So usually we translate the Egyptians did bad to us. In the sense they treated us badly, but the truth is it's not. It's not a good translation. V'ya're'u is in the Hifil. V'ya're'u otan ha-mitzrim. In other words, they made us look bad. They said bad things about us. They spread bad rumors about us. They put bad propaganda about us. These guys are gonna, waiting for the next war. They're going to join our enemies. That's what Paro said. He's giving bad Motzi Shemra. He's Motzi Shemra. Now he's giving propaganda, bad propaganda.
BDS.
BDS, exactly. That's what I talked about. Exactly. It's BDS. That's exactly. They demonized us. They demonized us. And that's what happened. That's what Paro started. And it continued. Queen Elizabeth of Spain, 1492. The Jews are the biggest mistake in our lives. We helped Queen Isabella of Spain conquer the Moors. We provided the money. We provided the funds. The chief minister was a guy called Don Yitzhak Abarbanel. And he was the chief treasurer of Spain. And the Jews provided the funds to beat the Muslims. Provide the Christians with the funds to beat the Muslims. And little do we know, we're going to be next. And they turn against us. We thought they're going to be our friends. They're helping us. Yeah, we're going to help you. Promises, promises. And then they said, we are the murderers of God. We are the poisoners of wells. We are the usurers. We are the murderers of Gentile children for ritual purposes. You know, there's an interesting halakha in the Ramah. The Ramah brings down, Jews should not use red wine for Pesach because of blood libels. In those days, there was some blood libel. I mean, it's hard to imagine that that's what they said about it. The Mitzrim said, well, we are bad. They changed everything around. They changed history. They propaganda. And today, it's being done against Israel. They're demonizing Israel. Israel is the only nation vilified. You know, all these murderers. Assad, Syria, Iran, China, they're all, where's their, you know. And you go to the United Nations Human Rights Council. The only thing they talk about is Israel. Israel. All you look at how many resolutions are passed against Israel. Israel is like the worst country in the world. That's where Re'eh Otan Ha-Mitzrim. They made us into bad people. That's a horrible thing. They killed us. They killed our reputation. So how do we understand that? What do we do? And the answer is, that's why we say, V'hi she'amda la'avotenu v'lanu. The oath, the covenant between God and Abraham stood for us. The only thing that saves us is Hashem. Hashem's covenant with Abraham. We have to realize that covenant, the power of that covenant is still alive today. We have a covenant between us and God. Abraham Avinu, our forefather, was smart. He made a covenant with God. Come on, that's the highest thing you can do. Make a treaty with God. Imagine, you have a treaty with God. The thing that saves us is our treaty with Hashem. We have a treaty with Hashem. Okay, let's move on. Because we know Rabban Gamliel says we can't finish off without Rabban Gamliel. Rabban Gamliel says, "Kol mi she'olo amar shlosha dvarim bePesach, lo yotza ledei chova." Whoever did not say three things on Pesach does not fulfill his obligation. You have to say three things on Pesach. If you did your Haggadah and you skipped these three things, you didn't say anything. You got to go back and do it again. What are the three things?
Pesach,
Matzah, Maror. Okay, that's it. That's all we have to do. Three things, three words. Okay, see you later. The guy goes to the Haggadah, he says, Pesach, Matzah, Maror, see you later. I'm finished.
Let's have food.
Let's have food. Exactly. And the answer is we have to understand the symbolism. If you just say the three words, we don't really understand it. That's not really Haggadah. You didn't really say anything. You have to understand the symbolism, what it means. What is a Pesach, Matzah, Maror? So this is a brilliant idea. I've never seen this before. This is the first time I'm seeing this. First time I'm saying this. Pesach is what God did to us. Pesach is how God acted on us. So we're going to talk about the word Pesach. Just remember, Pesach is what God did to us. Matzah is what we did. We made the matzah. So it's worked. We really worked hard. We did it very fast. I saw a movie on how they make shmura matzah by hand. Amazing. Within 5 minutes, it's done. 18 minutes is cut off. 5 minutes from start to finish, like machines, really. Better than machines. The factory, see a factory, that's why it's good to buy from a factory. Shmura Matzah factory, they do it like a machine, they're like robots, they're amazing. So we did the matzah. And maror is what the Egyptians did to us. So three protagonists in this story. God, Israel, Egyptians. God did Pesach. We did the matzah. And the Egyptians did the maror. So let's start with the maror. We talked about how the Egyptians vilified us, demonized us, and they made us suffer. And Rabban Gamliel says, you have to teach your children that there's suffering in the world. That we are the scapegoats of the world. We are their God's son, the tortured son. We are the Jewish people are the tortured son of God. So being part of the chosen people exposes us to demonization and persecution. And we have to preserve the memory of our suffering. Why? Why do we have to remember the suffering of Egypt? It says, we have to meet a gear. You will love the stranger. Because you are strangers in the land of Egypt. Remember the suffering and don't do it to other people. You remember what they did to you and you don't do it to others. So that's a very important idea. So we have to teach our children this concept, maror. There is bitterness in the world. And there is bitterness, there's suffering in the world. And the matzah is what we did to deserve our freedom. And the answer is the Jewish people took the ram, or the sheep, or the goat, and they tied it to their bedpost for 4 days. You know, yesterday was Shabbat HaGadol. One of the reasons for Shabbat HaGadol was that it happened to be Shabbat. That 10th of Nisan was a Shabbat. So the Jews came out on Thursday, right? 10th, 11th, 12th, 13th, 14th. Friday morning. Come out. All right? So it was a long day. They took out the sheep, but the God of Egypt, and tied to their beds, and the Egyptians looking, and they say, what are you going to do without God? Well, we're going to have it a roast. We're going to have a roast. We're going to have a barbecue. And they didn't kill us. But it was a long day for the Jews. They were scared stiff. So it's Shabbat HaKadol. So matzah represents the fact that we took our lives in our hands, and we left Egypt. Imagine. This is what I'm used to. This is the only life I know. And we left Egypt so fast. God says, go. No problem, God. Whatever you say, we're coming. And this became one of the biggest merits the Jewish people have. The prophet says, Zachati laches in the Urayich. I remembered your kindness of your youth. Havar kirulatayich. Lechtech acharai b'midbar b'al eretz lo zeruwa. You went after me in the desert. In a land which is not, there's nothing to eat. And we left Egypt, the breadbasket of the world. We went after God into a desert with nothing to eat. That's a big... These guys were amazing. Their emunah got them through, and that was they left b'chipazon, which is the matzah. They left so fast. When the time of Gula comes, it comes very fast. The time of redemption comes, there's no time to pack your bags. You better have your bags packed already. People don't know that. The Mashkiach of Lakewood used to have his bags packed. Rabbi Wachshol, he had a bag under his bed. Emergency bag, just for Mashiach. Puts a sign, emergency Mashiach bag. Mashiach comes, your bag's packed, there's no time. Go, 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 guys, go, go. That's Egypt. Go, the Egyptians are pushing us out. Get out of here. Moshe says, hey, we're not leaving at night. We're going to leave in the morning. We're not leaving at dark. We're not robbers. We're not going to leave in the dark. We're going to leave in front of everyone. We're going to take all the gold and silver in front of everyone. We're not scared of anything. But that was the Hippazon. That's the matzah. And the Pesach, now it's interesting, Pesach. Now we always understand Pesach as? Huh? Pesach. Passed over, right? That's what everyone says, Passover, the word Pesach. Pesach means to skip or to pass over. Wrong. Now this is amazing. This, we have to really understand that. How do we know this? Look at the onkelos on the Pasuk. Who was onkelos? Onkelos Hager, he was a translator of the Torah into Aramaic. He translated the Torah into Aramaic, and for 1,000 years, Jews would read one line of Torah and one line of Aramaic. One line of Torah, one line of Aramaic. The only ones who do that today are the... Who does that today? The Temanim, the Yemenites. If you go to the Yemenite shul, it's very fast till you get to the Torah reading. Oh boy. Then you're really stuck. And I only went there once, and I don't think... No, I've been twice. I've been to a Yemenite minyan twice. It's very slow.
They read
Onkelos? Onkelos. They read the Targum. They call it Targum. Because the gimel without a dagger, they say j. Bere peri hajofen. First time I heard that, I nearly fell out of my chair. The same thing. So they call it torjum. Torjum. So one line chumash, one line torjum. One line chumash. So usually they have a kid reading the onkelos. It's amazing. It's very nice. It's very nice. So the adult is reading the Torah, starts every pasuk. Adult kid. It's beautiful. Even the Haftarah also, the same thing. So the Targum, or the Targum, I got confused now. The Ammonites confused me. Okay. The Targum explains the word Pesach as the word Chas, Chais. Hashem was Chas. There's a language in the Gemara, Chas al Mamono. But he's worried about his money. He's careful with his money. Hashem was careful with us. Hashem protected us. He didn't pass over us. He protected us. Divine protection. And Hashem, and that's very easy then. So saying Hashem Pasach al Batei Israel. Hashem protected the houses of Israel. What do you mean he jumped over the house of Israel? He protected. Hashem didn't kill the firstborn. It was the Mashchid, it says. He didn't let the Mashchid go into the houses. So the Mashchid, he's protecting the houses. He's Chas Alav Alav. And Ibn Ezra says the same thing. Hashem protected the houses. Passover does not mean jump over, Passover. Pesach does not mean to pass over. Pesach means he protects it. That's amazing. That's already nice. Okay, I'm going to end off with, because that's how I started off, Robert Jacobitz. I forgot what I wanted to say. Robert Jacobitz gives a beautiful explanation of the Seder. He said in everyone's life there is a Seder. One second. I want to give you a form.
Yeah, okay.
The Matzah Seder. So the Pesach symbolizes the Seder, the order of our lives. Kadesh. Holiness. When should a person become holy? And that's the answer is parents. Parents, before they have a child, should work on their holiness, because you want to bring a holy child. And this is very, very critical. You see children, sometimes even from the same families, two children are not the same. It depends on the holiness of the parents before they do the act of procreation. We have to realize we are partners with God. Not like Western civilization where it's the dirty and it's the sick and it's depraved. No. The holiest act a person can be involved with is the act of creation. Psh, it's so wild. The Ramban, Nachmanides, has a letter called Igeret HaKodesh, the holy letter, which every husband and wife should read regularly and before wedding the bride and groom should read.
Ramban,
Nachmanides. It's called Igeret HaKodesh. And you can buy it today. It's a little booklet. And give it out to these young couples before they get married. It's very important to know. It's not fun. It's not a fun act. It's not a senseless act. It's an act of holiness to bring a child into the world. And that's Kaddish. Before a person has a child, Kaddish. Urchatz. Wash hands. Wash hands without a bracha. And that's when a child is born, it says, the Ben Ish Chai says, wash the hands. Even the babies. Imagine, baby's born, so every morning, wash the hands. That's holiness to the child. Karpas. First thing you teach a child is a bracha. Teach a child, Baruch Ata Hashem, Bore Peri Hadama. Everything grows in the ground, Hashem made everything grow. Teach a child, education. Everything comes from Hashem, Hashem created the world. Bore Peri Hadama. Yachatz. That's the hard part, breaking that middle matzah. So the three matzot, father, mother, child. You break the middle matzah as a child, and the majority of his day now goes in school. That's the Afikoman. Afikoman, now the child is in school. Your little kid, you broke him in pieces, unfortunately. Before it was all yours, now the majority of his time now is in school. That's the Afikoman. You break the Afiyachatz. Magid. He comes home, Magid tells you, Daddy, I learned in school. The rabbi said, the parsha, Magid. Enjoy the Magid. Roxa. Now wash his hands. He has to learn. The child has to learn to wash his own hands. Because in school you also pick up bad things as well. I don't know about you, but I learned swear words in school. It's a Jewish school, what can I tell you? Where do the kids learn the worst things? Some kids are not exposed to TV, and the other kids are exposed to TV. The kids who are exposed to TV can't tell the other kids, you know, how we saw last night, you know, we did last night. So the kid has to learn. The second washing is the kid washing himself. He has to learn to wash away the evil influences around him. Motzi matzah. So motzi is the meal. Oh well, motzi is now. He's, you have to be motzi from him what he learnt. Sometimes the kids don't want to tell you. Motzi, you have to motzi from them, and then the other part of the matzah, it's combined. The motzi matzah. The man goes to work, and he's. It says that was a curse of Adam, right? that with the sweat of his brow he has to go and earn living. So motzi is the learning, earning a living. He has to go and work. He becomes an adult. Motzi, he has to go and work to earn his daily bread. But he's got to remember, it's not him. It's the matzah. Matzah is God. In other words, the puffiness comes out. The pride has to come out of it. Even though I went to work, Hashem gave me the parnasah. That's matzah. Matzah is a symbol of no pride. So even though I went to work and I did all this work, and I earned my daily bread, it wasn't me. Hashem provided me. That's the matzah. And then the child's going to maror. There's bitterness in the world. Maybe now the child grew up now, and one of his relatives passed away. Maror. There's maror in the world. What do you do with the maror? What I do when there's bitterness in my life? Make a sandwich. Life is not all bitterness. We have to remember. Life is good and bad. You make it into a sandwich. The matzah and maror, you put a bit of haroset, is the sweetness. Life is sweet and bitter. You make it all one sandwich. It's a package deal. Life is not all good. It's a package deal. We have to remember. Hashem gives us a package deal. Some things are good. Some things are bad. It's a package deal. And we make it as a package and we eat it. Korech. Yeah, that's Korech. That's the package. Shulchan Orech. And now the guy got married. Now children sitting around his table. Shulchan Orech. There's a laid table. Everyone sitting around the table. The whole family around the table. Shulchan Orech. Safun. Now he remembers what he learned when he was a child. Now he's a parent. Whatever was inside him, hidden behind, now he's going to teach his children. The Safun comes out. So he went to school, that was Yachatz. Now he's a Safun, he's coming back to teach his children. And Safun, whatever's buried inside him, whatever's hidden inside him is coming out. Barech, and that's the time for Birkat HaMazon. First going to say, I got my children, I got my family. Thank God, that's Birkat HaMazon. And Halel is the grandchildren. When you have grandchildren, that's the Halel, that's the truth. Thank you, Hashem. You gave me more than what I deserve. Thank you, Hashem. Okay. And Nirtza is, that's the epitaph of a person. We want Hashem to give us the final thumbs
up.
Sorry,
it was the what?
The epitaph.
Oh, the epitaph.
The person's epitaph. Hashem says, Nirtza, I liked you. You're a good person. I liked your life. I had pleasure from your life. That's the greatest blessing we have. If Hashem says, this is your life, I'm really proud of you. Your life was great. Nirtza. And that's what we want Hashem to say at the end of our Haggadah. Hashem should say, Nirtza, I really liked your Haggadah. I liked all the bits what you did for me tonight. Give you a thumbs up. Thank you. And I hope you